Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we are doing early on Wednesday morning. Joining us from the Wells Fargo Center, aka the Center in Philadelphia, where he watched Joel Embiid make his return from knee injury a couple hours ago against the Oklahoma City Thunder, Tim Bontemps.
Hello, everybody. Interesting day here in South Philly.
And joining us from Dallas, Texas, where the Mavericks are suddenly cold after a loss in, well, I guess they weren't there. They were in Golden State. So, well, the Mavericks fans are recovering.
That's cold. That's always cold in San Francisco, too.
Is Bam McMahon.
Howdy, partners. The Mavericks are finally heading back to Dallas. They've been on the road for quite some time. Couldn't quite sweep the road trip, but pretty good run for them.
So if you're watching on YouTube and you want to know why my face is red, I'm not angry yet.
Are you embarrassed?
Not yet. I did put on sunscreen today, but it obviously was not the correct dosage and not enough. So I am doing TV tomorrow in LA, and the makeup women are going to have their hands full. There's going
to
be a
lot of makeup. From sleep updates to skin updates.
Yeah,
I'm about to inquire how this painful sunburn might impact his sleep tonight.
It's not actually painful yet. It's just letting you know why my face looks red. Except
wait till
the great K-Bond will be scolding you. The great K-Bond will be scolding you tomorrow for when she finds out you did not wear enough sunscreen today.
Well, usually I do. Usually I wear 100 whatever SPF, but long story short, I didn't, clearly. And I have to get up at 4 a.m., which is in a
riveting start to the pod.
Yeah.
Riveting. Here we go.
All right.
There's the update. We got it.
I knew you would love it.
I might get home at 4 a.m.
You might. Oh, you're going home tonight?
I am at some point.
Crazy bastard.
Someday.
All right. Joel Embiid had played a key role. Now, the Thunder were without arguably their two best players, certainly two of their three best players. No Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the calf injury, the quad injury.
Mm-hmm.
And quad injury, what was Jalen Williams' malady?
An ankle.
I think so. And Tyrese Maxey also did not play with a left hip issue.
That said,
Embiid didn't play either because he was out earlier, right? I mean, I checked the injury report this afternoon. He was out. He was out in the injury report yesterday.
He sure was.
This afternoon. So I didn't watch the game. Did he play?
He did play, believe it or not.
How could that be? Is that a violation of injury report protocols?
Well, Tim, we like to do, what's the TNT phrase? We do drama. Is that the phrase? Is it the TNT phrase? Well, it was TNT game. We're in South Philadelphia. And in South Philadelphia, where the Philadelphia 76ers play at the center, another source of drama that they don't call it the Wells Fargo Center. They call it the Center. Joel Embiid loves to be dramatic. And all day, I kept doing television hits and I kept being asked, so Joel Embiid is out. Does that mean he's not going to play? And I kept saying, I don't think he's going to play, but I wouldn't say he's not going to play. And sure enough, at 5:45, Eric Chambliss, one of the Sixers PR guys, comes in for Nick Nurse Talks and says, Mo Bamba ruled out. Joel Embiid is an upgraded to questionable. This was also a little while after the bowl.
Talk about an upgrade.
Well, and by the way, this is also at about 5:20. This is very inside basketball, but the Sixers and Thunder both shot around this morning. Now, for people who've covered games like us, it typically means that the rest of the day, the bowl is open, which means the arena is open. You can just be on the court. You can do whatever you want. Well, about 5:15, I think I might have been on the phone with Brian at the time.
You were.
All of a sudden, there's all these shouts over the PA announcer. The bowl is closed. The bowl is closed. Exit the arena.
Get those fingers firing, Wendy. Why would they do that?
I said to Brian on the phone, I said, I suspect that means a certain large fellow is about to wander out here, go through a workout. Sure enough, a short time later, he was listed as questionable. He went out and did his typical pregame workout. And then at 7 o'clock, like so many other times, Joel Embiid went from questionable to available and in the starting lineup. And 8 weeks to the day after he had his procedure on his meniscus, which has never been said anything other than as a procedure. And 2 hours after he was out and will certainly cost the Sixers a boatload of money, I would think, he stepped on the court and played 29 minutes. And as you said the other day, I don't think it would be fair to assume he is going to be back to one of the best players we've ever seen with how he's playing over the first couple of months of the season. But I think you got to come away from this game, assuming, knock on wood, there's no flare-ups with his knee, feeling awfully good about where Joel Embiid is at. Played 29 minutes, had some bad turnovers, some miscommunications with Buddy Hield and Kyle Lowry. He's getting used to playing with those guys after never playing with them before, but moved pretty well physically, didn't have any issues with the knee, seemed to get around the court fine, and in the final minute of the game, stole the ball from Josh Giddey, went flying down the court, flew into Chet Holmgren, landed in the stands, got up totally fine. So And then he came in the locker room after the game and had a shirt, a D-Generation X shirt from Triple H with giant suck it on the back of it, which he then turned around and wore backwards. So he had that on the front of him as he did his 10-minute post-game interview in front of his locker. So it was very much a full Joel Embiid experience here.
Well, normally I would claim shenanigans on that sort of chicanery with the injury report. But in this particular case, I do believe that the 76ers as an organization didn't really know. They may have suspected he was going to play, but I think they literally had to wait to see what he said.
This was going to be when Joel Embiid gave the thumbs up, Joel Embiid was going to play. He gave the thumbs up at 5:30.
If you don't know, then he's either doubtful or questionable. He's not out.
Well, he was out until he said he wasn't out anymore.
The sheriff, Adam Silver, might have a little something to say about
that. Well, again, they're going to get fined. I would say I feel pretty confident in saying the Sixers are fully aware and comfortable with the fact they're going to get fined. And you know what? Joel Embiid's playing again. So it's worth whatever fine they have to pay.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
now with six games left in the regular season, the reigning MVP for at least a couple more weeks is back on the court. And they go to Miami for an absolutely massive game on Thursday. And if they can win that game, they have an incredibly soft schedule down the stretch and they have a chance, if Embiid can play these six final games that don't include back-to-backs, to potentially win themselves out of the play-in tournament, which would obviously be a massive boost for their fortunes.
Were you surprised he started off playing 29 minutes? That's a little higher than I anticipated for the first game back.
I am not, only because my understanding was that when he came back and played, he was going to play not full minutes, but a lot of minutes. And I think part of the reason it took the full 8 weeks, which Joel was quick to point out, he came back exactly in 8 weeks and he was pretty happy about that, was because I think they wanted to really feel like when he came back, he would be ready to go, and that they won't, hopefully for their sake, have to look at a team up by 95, an OG Anunoby situation where he comes back after a couple games, has a flare up, and then has to sit down, because he looks really good physically, looks trim. I think he's lost some weight. You know, he was joking, he gained a bunch of weight, but I don't really believe him. I think he looks good physically. Yeah, he looked good physically, and his knee felt good. I mean, he never likes these braces. If you ever watch him in a game, whether if he's wearing a mask or he's wearing a brace, he's fidgeted with it all the time. But he felt good coming out of it. He feels good. He said he's going to play on Thursday in this game in Miami. And like I said, I think as far as checking boxes go, again, barring any setbacks with the knee, you got to feel pretty good if you're the Sixers that you could both get him on the court healthy, have him play close to 30 minutes, and steal this game against the Thunder. Injuries aside, the Sixers have had a million injuries, obviously, and that's a huge win they weren't supposed to get. And even though the Heat beat the Knicks on Tuesday, if they can go down to Miami and get that game Thursday, really changes their fortunes pretty dramatically.
Yeah, I thought he actually looked pretty good. I thought he was sprinting at times. I thought he was moving well on defense. Yeah, his rhythm was off, of course. He hasn't played in 2 months, but I was very encouraged by what I saw. And, I think if Philly gets everybody healthy, you know, Maxey comes back, I don't see a reason why they can't be a serious threat against anybody in the East.
Well, look, let's just say this.
They wouldn't be favored against Boston, obviously, but they could be a threat.
You got to win the playing game if you're in it.
Let's just say this right now. 2 weeks from Tuesday is the 7-8 play-in game, barring scheduling issues. Supposed to be Tuesday the 16th, okay? If you win that game, if you're in the 7-8 game, you get the two seed in the first round. That's probably going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. I understand Damian Lillard didn't play today. Giannis Antetokounmpo had this line: 35 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists, went 15 for 21 from the field. The Milwaukee Bucks were playing the Washington Wizards.
Capital W, baby.
Who didn't have Kyle Kuzma playing.
Or Tyus Jones. You know who they did have playing, though?
Corey Kispert.
Corey Kispert playing.
That's right.
What did 2K do?
We're going to have to get Corey Kispert only had four, hit four threes, had 27 and 7, and the Washington Wizards won at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. I am not saying the Milwaukee Bucks can't make a run in the playoffs, but I am saying that the Philadelphia 76ers are in the 7-8 game and can win that game 2 weeks from today, and Joel Embiid is healthy, they got a very live shot of winning a series against the Bucks in the first round.
Right,
and if they can win that, they could beat anybody this side of Boston, certainly.
No, the 7-8 game, the difference between winning and losing that game is massive, because the drop-off from the Celtics to the Bucks is pretty steep. So, and that's honestly, that's also why this game coming up Thursday in Miami is huge.
That's right.
You know, they've got a chance to catch the Heat. If they come out, if they win that, what's, I don't know the tiebreaker situation between
them. So Miami is up 2-1 in the tiebreaker. So if they win that game, it's obviously tied. Then it goes to conference record, and they would have a chance to pass them in conference record division down record. The stretch.
Division record.
Well, they're not in the same division, so it's conference record. So that would be conference record.
In your suburb face.
It is division record if you're in the same division, which some of these teams are, but they are not. So they would have a chance to do that. They've already lost a tiebreaker to Indiana because of their losses to them earlier in the season. So they're in a position where if they win that game, they have a chance to get the tiebreaker against Miami. They're one back in the loss column then, and they have a very soft schedule. Like we talked about the other day, they got Memphis and San Antonio back-to-back over the weekend.
Excuse me, sir. San Antonio is no longer a gimme.
Okay.
Can I also
not except for one.
I don't care. Have you watched him recently?
He's awesome.
By the way, can I just say something?
I watched him tonight.
Are we 100% sure he can't win Defensive Player of the Year? Are we 100% sure on that?
Yeah, this year
he's not winning Defensive Player of the Year.
Next year he's probably going to open up.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I do. He's not winning Defensive Player of the Year.
Gobert.
He's had a tremendous year. Gobert's got a chance to be on an all-defensive team.
Yeah, Gobert's anchoring the number one defense.
I understand that.
Rudy Gobert is winning Defensive Player of the Year.
I understand he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but my vote hasn't been decided.
Okay, well, that's not the same thing. If you want to say you're going to vote for Victor,
vote for Victor MVP. Are we sure?
He might come up in the straw poll.
Yes, we are sure. We keep saying we're sure, and you keep saying I don't know.
I'm not sure. By the way, he had 9 blocks tonight against the Nuggets.
It was incredible. Okay,
he's a great player. He's not going to beat out Rudy for defensive player.
Here's a crazy stat. He blocked Joker 4 times. One guy's only blocked Joker 4 times once in his career. I could give you guys 1,000 guesses.
Yeah, who is it?
And you would never
DeAndre
get it.
DeAndre Jordan.
No, absolutely not. Hold on,
Corey Kispert.
Nope. He is of the Caucasian persuasion, though.
Greg Ostertag.
I don't think Joker played against Ostertag.
Nurk.
I had to make sure I got the brother right. Cody Zeller.
Oh, Cody Zeller. Oh, wow. That's a point.
Cody Zeller.
Victor has had a tremendous year.
Joker dunked 3 times in this game, which I believe these are all obviously Stats Williams specials. Yeah. Joker dunked 3 times, which matches his career high, I believe it says.
You want to know why he had to dunk?
Because if you don't dunk it on Wimby, he might get it.
You guys want to vote for Gobert? That's fine. I'm telling you.
I don't have a vote.
What? Also,
with that defense player that you're roaming, swatting everything,
Joker was
held to only 34 points in the paint. Tied for most of his career.
Brian, if you want to say, in all seriousness, if you want to say you might vote for Victor as defensive player of the year, that's fine. He's not going to win the award. He might make it all defensive team.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, if you watching him play this last third of the season, the dude is playing defense like
it's
nobody.
Defensive player of the year.
I understand.
Has been the best defensive player on the best defensive team all year and is going to win the award.
Listen,
I remember when people persecuted me. I mean, you were one of them because I thought that Embiid should be the rookie of the year, even though he played 31 games. I feel okay about
now
that.
That's because rookie class was mediocre. Rudy Gobert is having a dominant defensive season as a 3-time defensive player of the year, anchoring the number one defense in the league.
I'll tell you what
Victor said, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but to paraphrase, he was asked this exact thing.
Yes, he was.
Said, it's Rudy's this year, and essentially then I'm taking over.
Yeah, he said that in French.
He said that in French. I don't exactly know the context. I will just say that's Victor believes he's the best defensive player.
You have said 27 different things now in the last 5 minutes.
Well, whatever. I said what I said.
Yes,
I'm thinking about voting for him. You asked us a question, we said no,
and then I think
the history is going to be on my side. That's what I'm saying.
He's going to win 6 or 7 in history. It ain't going to be 1 this year.
All right.
As I said, he might make all defensive team as a rookie, which I think the last person to do that I think was, yeah, he might. I don't think it's a definite he's going to make all defensive team.
He will.
Well, he might. I don't know how the all defensive team voting is going to go.
It's
Well, I know, but I also think I probably going to lead personally towards voting it like I have in the past, because I think otherwise I'd just be literally voting for 10 centers, which I don't think I'm going to do for that award. Point is, as a rookie, if he makes all defensive team, I don't think anyone's done that since, what, Tim Duncan, maybe before? So, like, I don't think it's a crime to say that. And I'm with McMahon. He's probably going to be the favorite to win the award next year.
He's not going to win it this year for about 15 years.
He could win it for the next. He could probably be a favorite to win it for the next decade.
They're missing three of their top four players right now. And
I like how this has become a Victor discussion again. We're playing the hits.
He demands it.
I got to tell you, I was locked into this game, especially.
I wish I was. You guys were texting about it. It sounded amazing.
Unbelievably fun because you have, you know, the MVP favorite against a guy who's going to win who knows how many MVPs and just like something, a guy we've never seen anything like this before.
Definition of present versus future.
Yeah. Now Wimby has to create everything at this point. Don't look at his shooting line tonight. It is not pretty.
Yeah, let me look at this box score. That's what I didn't see yet.
He was two assists and a block away from quadruple double. He was incredible.
Nine for 29. 15 boards, 8 assists, again, 9 blocks. Two turnovers. I love that. That's great.
He was awesome in this game. He had to jack up a bunch of bad shots. Anyways,
yeah. All right.
No, back to our regular scheduled podcast.
Speaking of awards,
Wendy's my favorite for defensive podcast.
This is a great list from Jackson. 5 rookies have made an all defensive team ever: Kareem, Hakeem, Manute Bol, David Robinson, and Tim Duncan. It's a pretty good list.
Well, listen, if it's Robinson and Duncan, you've got to put Victor on there. It's got to be all the Spurs.
Number one picks for the Spurs. That's right.
I didn't know that's a good one on Manute Bol. I didn't realize that. He probably had 1,000 blocks his rookie year. All right. Speaking of awards voting, we have the final installment running on Wednesday of the Bontemps MVP straw poll, the Bontemps poll.
The BS poll.
Just as an aside, I looked it up. So Manute Bol literally averaged 5 blocks a game.
Yeah.
As a rookie, 397 blocks.
Wimby's essentially done that over the last 20 games.
I know.
By the way, you know that when he's on the court, they've got a top 5 defense, right? And that's
cool
for the whole season.
Okay, vote for him. You have a vote. Vote for him. You asked us a question and we gave an answer.
They've got the number one defense. That's for the whole season.
It might have something to do with the guys he's with.
Yes, because Rudy Gobert's never anchored a number one defense before.
On Rudy Gobert. It's a commentary on Victor Wembanyama.
Yes, it is. Sure is.
It can only be one.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Let's hear the results of the Bontemps straw poll.
Okay.
By the way, McMahon and I don't know. We're finding out in real time.
How do you want me to read these off? Bottom? I'm going to read it off from the bottom. Because 10 different players got at least one vote. With one fifth place vote, Celtics forward, Jaylen Brown, got one fifth place vote. Domantas Sabonis, King Center, got 3 fifth place votes, was in ninth.
One of them was mine.
That's correct. Kawhi Leonard.
He had a 2020 game tonight, by the way, and they beat
big win for the Kings. Yeah, Kings. We talked about it, they were in trouble. They get a huge win over the Clippers today.
Well, but
by the way, as you're about to say something, Kawhi Leonard, 4 fifth place votes. He's 8th.
Well, Kawhi Leonard flew back to LA to get his right knee examined, which is
I didn't know that.
About this game, and the right knee is the one where he tore the ACL and where he had surgery last offseason.
That is of major interest to the Mavericks because as we speak, it'd be a 4-5 playoff matchup, and Kawhi has been the primary reason the Mavericks have not won a playoff series against the Clippers in the last couple of weeks.
Well, by the way, since I just was made aware of this injury because I've been covering this game, there are only 7 games left. However, if Kawhi is for some reason indisposed for a while, they are only 2 losses ahead of the Pelicans and the Mavericks in 5th and 6th. They're only 3 ahead of Sacramento and Phoenix in 7th. So if they do go on a slide here, 7th and 8th, I should say, there is a world where they could slide back into the play-in. I think it's unlikely given how few games are left, but if Kawhi misses the final week or so here, all of a sudden that could get a little dicey for the Clips.
Well, they only scored 95 points, and Harden was not good tonight. All right, number 8th place was Kawhi. Go on.
Yeah, Kawhi dropped off. He was, I believe, 5th in the last one ahead of Jason Tatum. He dropped pretty far in this one.
Clippers have been dropping, so
they have dropped like a stone too. In 7th place on 11 total ballots, 1 second place vote, 4 fifth place votes, four fourth place votes, I should say, and 5 fifth place votes, 11 ballots. Wolves guard Anthony Edwards up to 7th.
Anthony Edwards had two dunks in the last minute tonight, one of which is in his top 10 this season, which is a real compliment. And he was good. He was good. Yeah, basically sealed the game. And when he was going for a third dunk in the last minute, because he almost had 3 dunks in about 20 seconds of game time, Fred VanVleet tackled him.
Yeah, Fred VanVleet was like, no.
And our boy Christian from Christian and Scooby was texting me about this Fred VanVleet play. He was like, are you watching this Wolves-Rockets game? I said, I'm covering the Thunder-Sixers game, man, but why? And he started to tell me all about this intentional foul by Fred.
Dude, the first of those three, which I think they were up 2 at the time, it was a really close game, drives down the middle of the lane, takes off just inside the dotted line. Jabari Smith Jr. goes up and challenges him. Cocks that thing back behind his left ear and throws it down with 2 hands. It was
I'm jealous you guys got to sit at home and just watch all these games today.
It was kind of surprising he was able to dunk it at all, but then he dunked it with incredible force. And he dunked it like dodging a legitimately good contest. Like he just went around it. Go ahead. Ant was in seventh.
Oh, man, I just saw that dunk. That was quite a dunk. In 6th place, 3 third place votes, 2 fourth place votes, and 19 fifth place votes, 24 total votes on ballots. Knicks guard, Jalen Brunson, who I think as of right now would get my 5th place vote on my ballot.
That's interesting. Point of order. Surprises me a little bit.
Point of order, I have to issue a Hoop Collective correction.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
I've been informed by the Spurs that no ball boy fetched the ball on Friday night. We talked about on the podcast, and I wrote about it on ESPN.com.
Yeah, were you showing your correction on .com? Do I need to tell the desk?
Maybe.
So where's Jalen Brunson's 61-point ball?
However,
how did the ball get out of the stands?
Well, the Knicks said to me that they did retrieve the ball.
Okay.
So the Spurs are saying, I have a direct Spurs ball boy source who surveyed all of the Spurs ball boys to verify the information. And I stand corrected. Nobody retrieved the ball. The ball, I assume, left the arena with that fan. And the ball that the Knicks got is maybe the backup ball. I don't know.
The Knicks definitely had one.
Said they had a ball.
If they had Giannis, he'd be sprinting up those stairs and got it himself.
I mean, we were praising the Spurs ball boy, and props to them. They don't want to correct credit where it's not.
They don't want fake praise, I guess.
They also, they also don't maybe want to imply that they were trying to mess with Victor throwing the ball to the stand. So I don't know. All right.
Maybe there's some obfuscation here. We'll have to get to the bottom of it.
I don't know, but I was contacted on behalf of the Spurs ball boy squad.
All right.
And I deem this contact to be legitimate. So,
all right.
Well, let it be written. Let it be said.
There you go. All right. Well, with that being
Jalen,
said,
I don't
we'll
know
on.
What that ball is. I mean, I don't think Jalen wanted it anyway, but to be honest.
All right. So in 5th place, 2 first place votes, a 2nd place vote, a 3rd place vote, 11 fourth place votes, and 54 fifth place votes for a total of being on 69 ballots and 119 points. I think you guys can probably guess who this is.
Jason Tatum,
Celtics.
And he was my 5th place vote. I thought there are two tiers ahead of him. The top 2 guys, the next 2 guys, and then Tatum is the 5th guy on my ballot.
Yes. That basically everybody involved said there was a chasm between 4th and 5th. And I think it's basically going to come down to Jalen Brunson and Jason Tatum. One of them will be 5th on probably, I think, the vast majority of ballots at the end of next week. And then these other 4 guys will be at the top. So 4th place with 2 first place votes, 8 second place votes, 13 third place votes, 62 fourth place votes, and 7 fifth place votes on 92 ballots, 334 total points. Bucks forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I think will probably be in 4th.
Who keeps putting up gigantic numbers in games where the Bucks don't play well as a team.
He's only on pace to be the first player in the history of the league to average over 30 points on over 60% shooting. He's currently averaging 31 points a game and shooting 61% from the field, which is pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, oh, and he's also averaging 11.5 rebounds and 6.5 assists a game. It's also pretty good.
Yeah. But pretty good play. Listen, the Bucks, the messiness of the Bucks season, I think you can rightfully put some of that on his shoulders.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, they have obviously not been very good under, I mean, I believe they're under 500. What are they? I think they're 18-20 after tonight's loss with Doc Rivers as the coach, I believe. Yes, they're about 18-20 on the road this season, I should say. But yeah, they've struggled since Doc took over. Not shocking. He dropped on the ballot to four. In third place with one first place vote, 31 second place votes, 43 third place votes, 15 fourth place votes, 6 fifth place votes on 96 ballots, 493 total points. Everyone in Dallas is going to be mad at me again. Mavericks guard,
wow.
Luka Doncic.
Only
that actually
one
does surprise me.
One
that
first
actually
place
surprises
vote.
Me.
That's
Williams was also very surprised that only one first place vote for Luka.
Well, no, I thought he was going to jump up to second in this one.
That he did really, jump up to third.
Yeah, that actually but really does surprise
me.
Me.
Excuse me. This is for most valuable player of the year. Of the year.
Yes.
Not the last month of the year.
I'm well aware.
I'm well aware of the year.
Most valuable player of the year in which he has led the league in scoring. In the year of which he is second in assists. In the year of which he has averaged 9.2 rebounds. In the year in which he's had 20 triple doubles, I believe 15 of which have been 30 plus points. I had him second on my ballot. My thing with Luka is there is, and by the way, in the year in which he's been drastically improved defensively, I'm not saying he's all defensive canon or anything, but you can no longer say, hey, he's been awful defensively and hold that against him. He's been okay. My thing
I would argue. No, sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say he's absolutely had an MVP caliber season. Like there's nothing, I don't think you can take any shots at his case. I just don't think you can say it's a stronger case than Joker's.
Well, the guy who finished second with 10 first place votes, 45 second place votes, 39 third place votes, 5 fourth place votes, 1 fifth place vote, one of two players to be on every ballot with 626 total points. The guy that I did not watch play tonight, Thunder guard, Jay Gibbs-Alexander. And to me, we'll say the winner because there's only one guy left. It's very obvious who it is. With 85 first place votes, 14 second place votes, a third place vote was on every ballot at 953 points in a runaway, all but certainly going to win his third MVP in 4 years, which would put him in the rarest of rarefied eras in NBA history, Nugget center Nikola Jokic. And to me, this ballot is very simply going to come down to who finished the second and third. Giannis will be fourth, and Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown will be fifth, or Jason Tatum or Jalen Brunson will be fifth. And Nikola Jokic is going to win in a romp because when we did this 6 weeks ago, we said there were maybe some worlds where Nikola Jokic might fall out of the top spot. He had a pretty big lead. But for that to happen, the Nuggets were going to have to come back to the pack some, like what happened with the Clippers. Instead, Jamal Murray's been banged up. Nikola Jokic has been awesome. He's coming off winning finals MVP. He's the universally considered best player in the world. I am not at all surprised he's got a massive lead. And I am not surprised he's going to win a third MVP, and he should win it.
Yeah, and they're sitting in first place in the West.
Right.
And like, you know, earlier this week, Luka had that crazy game against the Rockets where he had 47, didn't even score in the fourth quarter, had 47, 12, and 7. And, you know, Mavs Twitter's all on fire. You know, anybody who wonders who should be MVP, just watch this game. And it's like, okay, but you could have also watched Joker earlier that day when he had, I think, 28, 18, and 16. You know, like Luka tonight, 30-point triple double, great numbers.
But there are four guys who are quite clearly are deserving of being MVP in any given year this year with the way they're playing. Giannis, Luka, Shea, and Jokic are all playing at an MVP caliber level. But at the end of the day, to go back to our earlier discussion about Victor and Rudy, there is only one award, only one person can win. At the end of the day, this guy was a hair away from winning three in a row last year. He had a dominant postseason last year. Coming into this season, that was always going to have him as a leg up. And it was probably going to come down to him and Embiid again this year. And like when he won his first one a couple of years ago, when Embiid fell away, at the end of the day, Jokic, like you said, with the year he's having, coming off the year he had last year, sitting at the top of the Western Conference, it's, to me, it's just very hard. For as great as all these other guys are, it's very hard for me to see why you should put somebody else ahead of him when you look at just how dominant he is on a nightly basis and how dominant that team is when they are, to me, clearly the favorites to win another title. Like, you know, you put it all together.
Yeah.
All these guys are great. I think you could make a good argument for any of the four, but I think Jokic deserves to be well ahead, and he is.
Mavs proprietor, Mark Cuban.
he was working today, baby.
What's the?
I'm sure he will be upset with me when he sees the straw poll.
What's the correct verb now for posting on X? He posted, I believe,
is what they say. Posted.
He posted that you should be encouraging Mavs fans, MFFLSs, to find an MVP voter. So...
Which I'm not one. Just
find a voter and do what?
You know, shake him and tell him. We're not like. Well, I'm not going to say anything there, but
you know, analytics aren't everything, but all the major analytics, player efficiency rating, Joker number one, win shares, Joker number one, box plus minus, Joker number one, value over replacement player, Joker number one. Like when it's a clean sweep of those. And all those other things you just factor in, it's just hard to give somebody else your first place vote. I had somebody with another team, not the Mavericks, just to be clear, but somebody with another team who was saying, you can't, you know, in a historical context, you cannot give this guy three MVPs in 4 years. Basically, his take was like, that's not going to age well. And I'm like, first of all, why can't you? Second of all, I'm very comfortable with how that'll age. The guy is 28 years old, already has a finals MVP, is as dominant as any player that we've seen in a long, long time. He's going to be a top 10 player all time. I'm more than comfortable with how that will age. Also, like the thing was like Jordan never had three in 4 years. Listen, just because they had crappy votes in the 90s doesn't mean we need crappy votes in the 20s.
Listen,
it's more educated. We have a lot more educated voter base. We have a lot more information. We can actually watch all the games. You know, you have all these numbers. We should have more logical voting now than they did 30, 40 years ago.
Well, and the bottom line is if people are talking about that, about Nikola Jokic at this point, they're just being wildly disrespectful. This guy is already one of the top 20-ish players in the history of the league. If they win another title this year, he's going to win MVP, but the straw poll is not wrong, as we know. So he's going to win MVP.
Yeah, I hope you got your odds before Jokic, because they're going to be, my guess is, less than even after the
I think they've been locked up for a while, but they're certainly going to be, I'm pretty sure they were locked out already, but they're certainly going to be locked up now. But, I mean, look.
An ESPN bet.
While you're looking it up, there are five guys in the history of the league who have three MVPs and multiple finals MVPs. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That is the heir. That, yes, I know that Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell couldn't have won finals MVPs earlier in their career. But regardless, that's the heir we're talking about with Nikola Jokic. And by the way, if he does that, it will be deserved heir because he'll have won back-to-back titles and he is putting up insane numbers and is leading a team that has no other all-stars on it, already led him to one title, could lead him to another, is a phenomenal player to watch. So again, all these guys are great. I was around the Thunder this week. I was attempting to get pitches from them about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Certainly got pitches about Luka. I've certainly got pitches about Giannis. I've certainly got pitches about Jason Tatum. And look, I think if one of these guys was on the Celtics who has put up these kind of numbers, I think maybe Jokic would have more of a fight on his hands. But Jason Tatum, to his credit, in part, has taken a bit of a step back this year. Everybody's numbers are down across the board.
Well, the Celtics have two guys in the top 10.
They've got two guys who are getting votes, and they've got a fantastic team. And, like, they've got the best team in the league. But if you're just, again, if you're stacking up Jokic and Tatum, people are going to take Jokic. So I was not surprised the vote came out this way. And I do think, to your point, McMahon, I am curious about how second place plays out with the way that the Mavericks have come on of late. and the fact that Shea has been banged up and missed some time, I wouldn't be shocked if that flips by the end of the year and Luka finishes second and Shea finishes third. But I think that's really that and the fifth place spot are really, I think, the two questions left. I think the rest of it's pretty well sorted.
I am struggling to navigate this ESPN Bet app because I just now downloaded it. So
the odds on that are basically been closed for quite a while, really since the last straw poll. Jokic had a big lead at that point, and it hasn't really opened up.
Yeah.
The other day when I was at University of Texas, there was some grad students there in that class, and I was talking about how betting is not, we were talking about how betting wasn't legal in Texas. And within like 4 seconds, one of the kids in the class was like, "Yeah, I just bet blah blah blah."
It's easy. Like, there's plenty of ways you can make a bet.
Well, I know, but like, he's like, "Oh," he's like, "I'll show you right here."
Yeah, the other thing with SGA, fair or not, this is his really the first year that he's been in this conversation.
Finished fifth last year.
He wasn't in the
first team All NBA too.
I agree. He was not in the conversation.
They were a nice 40-win team last year. He wasn't really in the conversation. Where this is the fourth year that Luka's really been in the conversation, and I'm not counting last year because obviously the lack of team success. To me, that's a bit of a tiebreaker. But hey, SGA averages 30 plus points per game with crazy efficiency. Is carrying the youngest team in the league, I believe, to at worst a top three finish in the West, as high as first. They throw out the stat. Only Steph Curry in an MVP season, Michael Jordan in an MVP season, have been 30 points, 50% field goal, and more than two steals per game. He's leading the league in steals. The thing with stats like that is I can find you stats like that that say, well, only Luka has been MVP. I can find a lot of Luka stats. Only Luka and this MVP and that MVP have had this stat. And I can find you some for Joker too. So you can't say, well, this stat proves it, when other guys have stats that also prove it.
Sure. And the only thing I'll point out on the Jokic thing, 2 years before he won his first MVP, he finished fourth. Year before he won his first MVP, he finished ninth. So I would say that Shea is in sort of similar territory to that. Sure. Difference is Jokic is at the top of the heap.
Well, I would say that Luka, as you said, Bontemps, Luka, there have been plenty of years over the last 20 since I've been voting where Luka would have won the award.
Mm-hmm. If they'd started this push a month earlier and they were up right in the top four, or they were sitting where Oklahoma City is, maybe it would be a toss up. Maybe it would be a little bit ahead. But if you're sitting in fourth or fifth or sixth in the standings, the barrier to win is, or the bar to win is usually higher and usually requires something pretty unusual to happen. And it's no knock on Luka. He's one of the two or three best players on the planet, and it's going to be an easy first team All-NBA pick, and probably he'll be second or third on just about every ballot.
But I do love when it's like, oh, the national media disrespects this guy. You heard it with Harden all the time.
Second every single year.
Yeah, it's like, dude, it's like, really? Yeah, you're second, you're third. Like, I'm sorry.
You're on a bunch of ballots, not too disrespected. Well, you might be surprised to know that I lived through a lot of MVP debates here in South Philadelphia over the past several years as another certain fellow finished second multiple times.
Oh, the disrespect. Second on MVP ballots. Oh, trust my gosh.
Yes. A lot of disrespect.
Was Luka not on every ballot?
Luka was not on every ballot. He was on 96 of 100. Giannis was on 92 out of 100.
That
honestly, I don't understand how you can leave him just totally off the ballot. That's pretty bold.
Well, people have their own opinions.
SGA and Joker were on every ballot.
SGA and Joker were on every one. Giannis was on 92. Luka was on 96. Tatum was on 69. Jaylen was on 24. Nice. Ant-Man on 11. Kawhi on 4, Sabonis on 3, and Jaylen Brown on 1.
It's kind of actually crazy that Giannis was off 8 ballots, to be honest.
Those four guys
to me should be on every ballot.
And the wisdom of the crowd, the debate is order.
Honestly, of 2, 3, 4, really.
That's why I ask 100 people from all over the place, and that's why the results are accurate.
So, Wendy, your ballot was?
I'm sorry, I can't reveal that.
What was yours, McMahon, since you sort of said it throughout first?
Mine was just how it came down in the top five, except for I had Luka and SGA flip. So Joker, Luka, SGA, Giannis, Tatum.
I had Joker, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka, Giannis, and Sabonis.
And I would have had the same as Brian, except for Jalen Brunson instead of Tatum as of today. So, like I said, I do think there's a chance I will end up flipping second and third, but I got to see how the next couple of weeks go.
All right.
And well, fifth, maybe flip Jalen out.
Thank you for doing all that surveying, Bontemps. I'm sure you will get your flowers. I'm sure nobody will complain. They will say, thank you for providing this service. We now have this knowledge where before we didn't know. I'm sure your mentions will be nice and flowery and everything will be wonderful. And you're going to have a great day on Wednesday.
Well, listen, sure. People always are mad at me about something. So this will just be a new thing for people to be mad about. It's okay. It's all
That's
good.
True. Well, that yep. on that, he's right.
You know what else these little fingers are good for? Not just asking why would they do that? The mute button, baby.
Yes.
All right. Well, on Thursday, we'll have Cajones Factor Player of the Month. Since it's a new month and McMahon wasn't ready, I don't know what happened there.
Wait a second. Well, I actually am ready, but I forgot to mention that. Would you like to have a quickie? Or are you?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm always ready for a quickie.
It's just like an after dark, folks.
1:34 a.m.
Let's get a quickie here and unload the cojones. All right, fellas. We're just going to go. We'll just go 3-2-1. Bronze /brass. Maybe.
Doesn't have to be one of them. Wait a minute. Doesn't have to be bronze or brass.
All right, we'll go brass. Screw bronze.
Yeah, there you go.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Maybe the highlight play of the season. Ant Edwards. Insane chase down, hit your head on the rim, your shoulder on the backboard block to save that.
Almost
March.
Broke his wrist on the way down.
Yeah, to save that win over the Pacers. It only gets him third place. Overall, honestly, the clutch numbers weren't very good for him last month. 6 of 21 from the floor, minus 26 in 33 minutes. But when you have the highlight of the season to close out a win, to seal a win, to save a win, you're going to get on this list.
That's going to earn you some brass.
Yes. The silver, also primarily based on one moment, but had a stronger overall clutch resume for the month of March. This moment, I witnessed personally. This moment, fellas, I'm not too humble to brag. I recreated on the hoop in the street. One of my fifth grade boys was guarding me game point.
Are you getting the award?
No. I launched that lefty hook from about 20 feet, and it did swish. I forgot to do the hand for the face.
10-foot hoop?
Oh, yes, brother.
All right. Well, sometimes you play a little low.
Play me horse. I'll say
on a 10-foot hoop playing against a much smaller opponent.
I mean, listen, Nikola Jokic, fifth grade kid, similar defense. Obviously, Kyrie Irving is what I'm talking about. That was the most spectacular buzzer beater that I've ever seen live with my own eyes.
It was pretty good.
Talking about the one that the lefty hook buzzer beater to beat the Nuggets on St. Patty's Day. The Mavericks didn't pull out against the Warriors tonight, but have been great in clutch situations all year. In March, Kyrie, 16 points, 7 of 9 from the floor, plus 13 in 19 minutes. Pretty strong resume.
By the way, that hoop on the, as the TV looks at it, the right side, I'm not sure if that's the east side or whatever. Last year, Luka, incredible free throw where he purposely missed a free throw. That was one of the most incredible finishes. This year, Luka throwing that sidearm bank shot.
That was actually the other hoop.
Oh, all right. Take it all back then. And then this Kyrie play. I mean, those are three plays in Dallas that...
Luka, he's hit a buzzer, at least one buzzer beater on the Celtics on the hoop you're referring to. The crazy free throw thing was just a sin in overtime for a 61-20.
Still one of the greatest plays of last season.
Yeah. So the gold medal, the Cajones Factor Player of the Month for March. This is the man who, if I've got that Jerry West Award vote, I would be giving it to. And we've talked about this before. DeMar DeRozan. Fellas, He had 50 clutch points last month. 50 on 53.6% shooting, plus 29 in 39 minutes. Nut cutting time. Last 3 minutes, one possession game. He had 37 points on 60% shooting. That's more than twice as many points as anybody else in those situations.
Crazy.
21 points, 5 of 6 from the floor, one possession game in the last minute. You know, he scored the last 7 points in a 2-point win over the Jazz, including the win in free throws. Had 2 go-ahead buckets in the ceiling free throws in a 3-point win over the Warriors. Hit that crazy baseline jumper to tie the score with 0.3 seconds left in regulation. Then had 9 points in OT against the poor Pacers. Man, Pacers getting a lot of play in this segment.
They got cojones'd.
Yes. DeMar DeRozan, your March cojones factor player of the month.
Hard to argue with that one.
Beautifully done.
I'm not prepared. Forgetful maybe, but I'm prepared.
Listen, I want to.
I was going to say, I was pretty surprised when you were like, oh, McMahon's not ready for cojones factor.
Not only was he ready, it was ready at his fingertips within seconds.
He's always ready.
Just put in a little notes app, baby.
That is the performance of a student who finished college in 4 years.
I'm actually, dude.
4 times 2.
I'm twice as smart as you. It took me 8 years of education, baby.
Whoa, does it really take you 8, or are you just making a joke?
I was in college for 8 years. Now, God. I had what I refer to as a senior era when I was pulling away at the Denton Record Chronicle full time. GPA took a little hit during that span, but I finished up. Also, I never told you this. I went to I was covering North Texas for the paper where I was also going to school. And I went to the academic advisor for the football team. And I said, hey, man, interview some of these guys, the ones who aren't that smart. What upper level electives are they taking? And he pointed me in the direction of a certain professor or two and took those classes in the summer. And C's got degrees, baby.
Well, I respect it. I respect it. And I think you got a master's degree in real world studies.
Got a master's degree in something. I'll just put it that way.
Master something degree.
All right. Well, thank you to McMahon for that beautiful work. Thank you to Bontemps for the spectacular Bontemps poll. It's going to be hard to wait till next December-ish, McMahon, for another edition of the Bontemps poll.
Can we get the Bontemps finals MVP thing? Oh, there's a Western there's conference MVP finals.
Yes.
MVP.
My conference finals MVP votes have been extraordinarily controversial each of the past 2 years. So yes, let's have it happen again.
2 years ago, he voted for Jimmy Butler. What was the one?
And I also voted for Jimmy Butler this time. People wanted Caleb Martin.
He won't be in it this year. And he'll still vote for Jimmy Butler.
All right. Thank you, Jackson, our producer. Thank you for watching, listening to the Hoop Collective. We'll talk to you later this week.
Adios, amigos.